This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at in the U.S. and around the world. Thanks for joining Baseball Outside the Box. This is the show that loves to interview baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. We are traveling all over the world, and this is what's great about the podcast. You can learn from anybody in the U.S. or around the world when it comes to the game of development. And in a second, we're going to join with our great friends from French Baseball, an outstanding national team program. General program, coaches program. These guys are fantastic. Before we do, don't forget, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com audio, hit subscribe, get an update all the time. Do us that favor. We really appreciate that. And also, don't forget YouTube, Peter Caliendo. That is also live currently. If you're joining us live on Facebook and you have any questions, do us a favor, type them in the comments section. I know you're going to learn a lot from this episode. I got two great people from the French Baseball Federation. First of all, Boris Ruthermont, and I practiced that. Boris is the vice director for coaching and national team development. And we're going to, and also the academies. We're going to talk to him about those. And Lachen Ben Mahida. Did I get that right? I think I messed that one up. I even practiced.
That's fine.
How do you say, Sean? Tell me.
Lachen Ben Mahida.
Ben Mahida. Boy.
Ben Mahida.
And Boris was on me practicing before we started, and I still screwed it up. Now, hey, you know, this is not a perfect show. Bad things happen sometimes, and I apologize to my good friends, French Baseball. But listen, both of you guys, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for hosting
us,
sharing with us.
All right. Listen, as you know, I'm familiar with French baseball. I've been very lucky to be in Europe a lot, and get a chance to travel the world. You guys do a fantastic job. Didier, your president, is outstanding. I've known him for a long time. He continues to do a lot of great things, not just in France, but all over the world. Let's start with this. And either one of you can take this. Let's just talk about French baseball and talk about, you know, a little bit about the foundation, how it started, you know, the organization and kind of the number of teams out there and the clubs.
Yeah, I'll talk about it briefly because it's a long history. It started off with 1914, before the first World War, where there's a major league game in France, in Paris. And it was an exhibition game, the Chicago White Sox against the New York Giants. And it was in 1914 in Paris. It started there, people showing baseball, knowing baseball, and the federation was created 10 years after that because to structure the federation. In 1924, this is where another exhibition game of Major League came in Paris at the Olympic Stadium in Colombes, which is close to Paris. And this is where it's all started. The federation was started already in 1924. So that's almost 100 years of the structure of the French Baseball Federation. We have around 250 clubs, and we have 13,000 members. So it's not a big sport in France. It's not very popular, but it's growing every year. We're since 10 years now, we're growing. Early 2000 was a big start for us to grow the game and to expand it.
Awesome. Hey, I did want to mention, folks, that Lassen is, you know, handles coach formation, baseball five, and women's baseball, which he's going to talk about. We're going to get into women's baseball because that's done really well. Well, you guys have done really well with the national teams. And folks, we will throw in there one of their managers, the famous Bruce Bochy, three-time World Series champion manager of San Francisco Giants, but also going to be a Hall of Famer. But let me ask you this. Since you talk about the formation, talk a little bit about the clubs and how the age groups work in every club. I know to you, it may not sound big, but 250 clubs and 13,000, you know, players is a, for Europe, that's a pretty good number. You guys are doing a pretty good job because there is a lot of competition. But talk about the first, the clubs, like the ages, how that works.
Well, a club is created on their own. I mean, it's a volunteer that creates it with memberships. And it could be a club only with adults. It could be a club only with baseball or softball. It could be a club with only youth kids. It depends on the volunteer, what he wants to do, what his project is. So he creates this this club team. And then after that, he wants to participate in a regional championship or national championship. This is where he subscribes to the French Baseball Federation that organizes all the competitions and national competitions. So this is how a club team in France and Europe mostly are built. It's not, it could start at 6 years old and it could last until 50 or 60 years old, no problem. But it's on their own, whatever they want to subscribe to and what age group they are. We have much more youth programs than senior programs, so that's the good news about it, that we have more youth playing, and it's especially maybe due to school. You know, we try to recruit kids from the schools. We try to get some volunteers involved in the schools so they can show the activity and participate in all those different sports we have. Like we have baseball, we have softball. Like we said, it could be boys and girls. It could be baseball five now in the schools that we fight for. And then we try to promote as much as we can.
Folks, there's an amazing 1914 exhibition game, Major League exhibition game started there. That's incredible. I would have loved to have been there for that. Well, not really, because I maybe not be alive now. So I guess I prefer to be here now back than 1914. We got some great people joining us on Facebook. One of my friends, Dmitry Kislyav, the president of the Russian Baseball Federation. This is what's great about the show. We get presidents of federations. We got coaches. You know, everybody's always trying to pick up something, always learning something. And here's what I always ask, and both of you can answer this. You guys do three things really well, I believe, and maybe more. But you develop the youth, the younger kids. You have good national team programs, but you also do it with an outstanding coaches education program because you've always believed in that. Even with the, you know, with us, with ISG for many years, helping send coaches. Mm-hmm. But you have your own coaches education program. But I want to start with the young kids because you brought that up, Boris. That's the key, right? You got to get kids to play the game. Mm-hmm. Just like anywhere else, not just in Europe, even in the U.S., there's competition, other sports. So you said you go to the schools. But what I want our audience to know is when you go to these schools, how do you attract them to play the game? Now, I know kids like when they see hitting, they love to hit. They see that, oh, wow, that's interesting. Okay. But you still got to get them to come play, right? How do you do that? What do you do to draw them to your clubs?
Listen.
it depends on, I hope you hear me well. It depends on clubs. I mean, each club has his own strategy to keep the kids coming to the clubs. It could be just organized like games, you know, just not official games, do a tournament. They can play with parents, you know, they can have a good time for an afternoon, for a party, for whatever. You know, that's how the kids come to the clubs and say, okay, you try just for one time or two time in school. I come and you have some practices, like regular practices every week. You can play games. You know, it's close to your town, so it's easy to play baseball. The equipment is not expensive. You get good coaches. You can play anytime, anywhere. I mean, you can play during summer on the field. You can play indoor during winter. So it's a different sport, so you can have fun too. So every club has his own way to attract some kids. It works, so that's fine.
Absolutely love it. And, you know, when you talk about games, you know, kids love, okay, you get them to the club, and that's one thing, right? We're going to talk about coaching because you have good coaching and good coaching program, but you get them to the games. Baseball is still a difficult game, right? to hit a baseball with a bat is not easy. Looks fun, but it's not easy. We know that. Or catch a baseball, right? Because it might be, you know, the ball hurts and they might have fear. So it's a little different than a lot of other sports. So what do you guys do or encourage your coaches to do to keep them in the playing the game? Because they, you know, if they're not having fun doing it, they're going to leave.
Well, there's a different approach. We had, you know, the B-ball. I don't know if you heard about this. The B-ball in Holland, it was pretty famous. It was only three bases and it was much shorter in distance, and it was adapted to baseball. And then now we have the baseball five, which is also a good sport that we can fit in school. Lassen can talk about baseball five and his ability to easily increase the numbers of members just because of knowing the fundamentals of turning around the bases, the double plays, all those things that you can find in baseball five. And it's easy. It's much more easy even than the B-ball. So, and it's a competitive sport as well now. So Lassen can talk about it more.
Let me ask you about baseball five, developed by the WBSC, introduced obviously from Cuba. Cuba has had that for a long time. I was lucky to be there and see their field and all the, and how they do things. But talk about baseball five, because I think this is important, because modifying the game like the Dutch did and now how the WBSC is critical in keeping kids playing the game at a very young age.
Yeah, I think baseball five is a good tool to develop our games. I mean, baseball and softball too, for the future. I believe on it. And I started the program in 2018 with the International Federation. I was invited in Roma and Prague to learn about baseball five at this time. And from this time, we still grew up the development of this discipline in France, and everybody is enjoyed to try the baseball five in school, in clubs, anywhere we try it. People love it. So now I understand, because I try it, and now I'm working on a teaching program specifically for baseball five, and it works. Because just example, in school, for the first time, you have kids doesn't know baseball and try baseball five, you know, and it's easy for them to hit the ball. It's the first thing they want. It's hit the ball with the bat. I say, okay, try with your hand. We'll see. You will have success in one time. I mean, so it's all the key. The field is smaller. You can have a field anywhere in the school. You know, everybody can understand the rules in a couple of minutes. I mean, you know, two teams of five, you can play with only one ball. You don't need any equipment, no gloves, no bats. It's easy to set up, and it's easy to understand. It's easy to have fun. So. You can play baseball five.
And I agree with you. That's a big key. Think about it. You only need a baseball. You know, sure, you could put down some bases that are just flat bases, and you can make bases if you don't have them. So it's easy. There's a lot of action, right? There's a lot. It's fun. Only five are playing on five, which means the kids are always touching the ball, right? Somebody's always in the action. It's not like baseball, they're waiting. What else I like about it is when you talk about the hitting, I like it because, you know, when you first start hitting with your hand, you control your hand. You don't have to control another object. And once you start to understand that, then it's easier to put a bat in your hand later on to, you know, get better. But question, is there anything... have you had any issues with it where some kids don't like it, or you found that most of them just like it right away? And I want to concentrate more on the younger kids, not the adults yet.
In baseball five, whatever the age, I mean, the kids in school, for example, know a little bit about baseball. And as you said, at the beginning, they want to hit with the bat. So they say, I don't want to play baseball five because there is no bat, so it's not baseball for us. You know, when they try it, you know, they change their mind and say, it's kind of baseball. So yeah, I like it. So I will try And I said, the next step will be, we'll use the bat. So just try baseball five. You will understand the game, you know, how to play in team, you know, how to run the bases. And after that, the next level would be use a bat and have some success too. So
outstanding, folks. And think about it, you know, you have an infield only. So that means, you know, it doesn't become complicated with fly balls to the outfield and cutoff and relays, all these things that you're trying to do when you're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, which is crazy at times. It gets complicated for the coach, for the player. So I think it's great, guys. You guys are doing a great job with that. On top of it now, let's talk about, you got the young kids and they're playing the game. They're developing. Then you've got your national teams, Boris, you know, because there's got to be a goal for these kids, right, as they get older. And that goal, just like here in the States, we got Major League Baseball. Now, a lot of French players now are coming to the States playing college baseball, you know, professionally, maybe even high school. Talk about the national team program a little bit and how important that is.
Yeah, I will. We started an under 12 national team. Can you imagine this? In France, it's one of the only sports in France that starts with the national team under 12. So wow. When we go to the government or the ministry and we say, hey, we have a national team under 12, they say, what? Are you serious? So yeah, we got this under 12 national team that participate to World Cups as well, that has to qualify every European championship to have the opportunity to go to the world baseball under 12 national world championship. And then we have the under 15, under 18, under 23, and the senior team. So the path to grow, they have it. I mean, they know that they can go through those national teams while playing the seasons in their club teams. They can go every year to the national team on the age group and perform on the club teams and then perform on the national team. And then they can grab the ladder, try to go to the academies. We have also Nationals Academy, which is 15 to 19 years old. It's in Toulouse in France. And then we have, for younger players, we have 13 to 15. We have three regional academies. So it's Rouen, Montpellier, and Bordeaux, which are three regional academies for those 13 years old. They can go room and board at 13 years old, practice 15 to 20 hours a week. And then the best players from those 13 to 15 years old go to the National Academy, which we have the best 20, 25 kids in France that we train 20 to 25 hours a week to try to get to professional system or college in the US. This is our goal, and represent France, of course, in the national teams.
You know, and talk about the national team too, because you guys were recently, right at the pandemic, I was supposed to be down there, and obviously we canceled, in Arizona when Bruce Bochy was going to be your manager, and from what I understand, still will be your manager. Talk about that.
Yeah, we were in Tucson just for the qualifier the first week just before the pandemic, so we had to go back. We practiced 10 days before arriving to the competition. So we played against the Giants, and Bruce Bochy opened all the doors to be able to play and see the spring training and play against the Giants. And that was really great. We had a great team together for that tournament. And the day before the start of the competition, we had to go back to France. So that was really difficult for everybody, for all the team. But Bruce promised to be there in September 2021 when we have the European Championship in Italy this summer, this September. And then hopefully the next World Baseball Qualifier, which is in 2022, hopefully, to rebuild this team and compete against the other teams to have a spot in the World Baseball Classic, we hope.
Guys, what's the biggest challenge you have in French baseball? I know there's financial, there's other things, but what's the challenges of developing the sport there?
Well, I think it's volunteers. It's difficult. And I think they're by themselves most of the time. There's not many volunteers involved in the club team. There's maybe one, two, or three guys or women, but they're all by themselves. And that's a problem because after 3 or 4 years, they're tired and there's nobody behind it. There's not many culture of baseball. and people listening. You know, when you work, when you take your time off for running a club team, and then you go to the city and say, "Hey, I need a baseball field, or I need equipment, or I need this, or I need this." They look at you and say, "Hey, how many members do you have in your club team?" And say, "I have maybe 20, 30. Say, that's not many members compared to soccer, compared to basketball, compared to, so to ask for a gym during the winter, to ask for a little bit of help on the field or to have a field, it's always complicated for the volunteers to go past this and to have all the time, no, no, no. And some volunteer can sometimes say, "Hey, I'm sick of it. I'm tired. I love the baseball, but I can't go through and get the club team growing." That's not everybody, but and I think that's whenever they say have a yes, they continue and they build. We have volunteers that really build club teams the best way, and they promote every year. They have goals of their club teams, but I think that's a membership, and most of it is volunteers.
You know, Boris, yeah, and I figured, you know, like anywhere in the world, when you first start off, getting a field is not easy because it's a big field, expensive, but it's fun to watch people who love baseball, have a passion, that they don't worry about that obstacle. Well, you know, they might go to a soccer field, right, and put some bases down and start that way, or they might go just to a field, right, anywhere. It doesn't matter where. Put it down. And I love that part. Now, something, Lassen, you know, coaches' education, you guys have been doing it for a long time. You keep getting better and better at educating your coaches, because if you don't, you know, I talk about it on the show, volunteers are the largest group of people in the world when it comes to baseball. They're not organized as one organization around the world, but it's the biggest group of coaches. And the most, to me, it's the most important level because they're working with the young kids. So talk about your guys' program, what you do for your volunteer coaches and how that works, the educational part.
Okay, in France, we are organizing different levels for coaches in baseball and softball. So our volunteers can be engaged in courses for a couple hours. You know, it could be for the first level, for example, it's you have some tools to be, animation, to do animations with kids, for example, in a club, just to help coaches to organize the practices. Not in competition, just in the, you know, the first level to have fun. So they have courses for 2 weeks or two weekends, sorry. So it's around 20 hours of courses. This is the first level for our coaches in France. And it's organized in every region in France. I mean, our Academy of Teaching program prepare we say like teachers or coaches to organize those courses, those formations in each region in France, you know? So in each region of France, clubs, volunteers can just ask to the club, "Okay, I want to be a coach for your club. How can I do it?" So they have all informations, the club can pay for that, for courses, you know, the federations. So it's free for them. They just have to show to the courses for 2 weekends. And after that, they have the diploma to organize practices. And after that, they can choose the next year to have the second level. We have three different levels. And at each level, you have different abilities to coach. You can coach for the first level of competition in France. We call it the regional level. You have courses about technical part of baseball and softball. You got physical, the mental approach too, and how to organize your season, for example, how to schedule practices all week and all year. And the third level, you have the ability to manage teams at, I mean, not the best level in France, but we call it like the between level, you know. It's upper regional level. And for the best level, like I mean, the first division in baseball, softball, you need to pass, we call it like professional certification. And it's with the Ministry of Sports and the Federation organized this kind of diploma. It's different, but we have a lot of people interested in this kind of formation.
Absolutely. Listen, do you have to go from level one to level two? You have to pass something, a course? You have to pass, have a test?
Yeah. You hear me?
Yeah.
In each level, you have a test. You got writing your test. You got a technical test. You have to show different type of technical part of the game. I mean, it could be a swing, could be a pitching part, baseball and softball. It could be how to handle a drill, for example. And in each level, you have different tests. And if you pass your tests, you get a diploma. If you don't, you have to pass the next year. And it's kind of well-organized, I think.
Yeah, I love it, folks. I mean, think about it. I mean, the more you hold your coaches accountable, they're going to enjoy it because they're going to get better. And when they get better, it's fun to run a practice. It's fun to go to games when you're more prepared. So I don't know of any coach that doesn't want to get better. And it's a great program. Lassen, what do you find? What's the difficulties of your coaches? What's the most difficult thing for them in France to do, to handle?
I mean, it's how to find the good drill for the good problem we can see for a kid. For example, if you don't know how to field the ball, you know, you can see it, but you don't know how to, you know, fix it.
Right.
And they ask us for drills, you know, every time, you know, I need some drills because I know that my kids have some trouble to feel the ball or hear the ball, but I don't know how to fix it. So it's a lot of, we say pedagogy, and I think it's international, but in France in particularly, because I'll say the Boris, we don't have the culture of really baseball, you know, in France. So they cannot see baseball or watch baseball on TV or in newspaper every day. So, you know, they need to have more information. So those informations, they can have it in the internet or in our courses, but they need on the field to know how to handle practices. That's the best I have tried to give them at every course. So
yeah, and that's important, because if you run well practices and they run really well, they're most likely going to produce in the game. They're going to transfer better into a ball game, and that's what you're trying to accomplish. Now, I know it's not easy, okay? It could be difficult. Do you have other coaches, higher coaches in your association in different regions that sometimes go out to watch coaches practice or watch games, maybe to give later on to give some advice? Is it at that level yet?
Yeah, it's difficult because our best coaches in France are already, I mean, busy in their own organization, you know.
Right.
So they are paid to do the work or the job in the clubs or in their region. They are paid from the region, so it's difficult to organize. I mean, sure. Like you said, supervise some other coaches in the country, even yeah. In the federation. It could be our job, you know, to do it. We try sometimes to do it in different regions, but it takes a lot of time. So instead, to go in different regions of the country, we organize like camp, baseball camp or softball camp in France every year, in south of France and in different regions when we can. And we bring some kids, you know, like 40 or 50 kids for 1 week, baseball every day for 6 or 8 hours a day. And we invite like coaches to come to this camps and to keep learning baseball, you know, how to coach during those weeks. So it's very interesting because during those camps, we have the best coaches in France. I mean, like all coaches in the for the French national team. So it's the best time, you know, for kids to have good practices and good camp with the best, and the coaches to have a lot of talk about baseball at the best level. So I think it's a good program.
Absolutely. Love that program. Now you're traveling, doing a camp. Coaches are coming out. They can get a chance to actually see how coaches teach and how they do things. That's how I learned. I was at a baseball school for 10 years, and I watched top coaches, how they teach and how they run practices. I love that. Is there a program? How do they continue? Oh, and before I ask you the question, for our guys and gals listening on Facebook or anywhere in the world currently, also my advice to you, if you have a coach in your town who's very good, okay, don't be afraid to ask them, listen, if you have one day, can you come to my practice and just watch, take notes, and then help me understand if I can do better. I know that it's not easy, but maybe you have somebody that you respect, that you know is very good. Sometimes forget the ego and try to get some help. What else, guys, can you do in coaching education? Because you're doing the camp, you've got the classes, and this is all year round, correct? So it's a continual education. It's not just one time, and then you wait another year.
Yeah, the camp are one or two on the year. I mean, because it's 1 week, full week, okay? But the courses can be all year. So you can have courses for, couple weeks. And now we try to give them some tools and some courses online. We try to develop our program on online. So it's difficult for us because a lot of technology, and we have to, fix all courses, like some videos sometimes, like you said, how to run a baseball camp, for example, a lot of different programs, and put it on the web and on the platform for the federation, and people can go there and just have all they want. So we work on it.
Well, we've all had this challenge, guys, and one of the challenges has been in the last year, the pandemic. We have not been able to get outside. What have you guys been doing in over a year? And maybe you answered the question already, but what have you been doing during the pandemic to try to educate your coaches? Have you had regional Zoom calls, or what's been going on?
The two different ways for the teaching program for coaches. We do it only like the Zoom program and like test online. We give them like courses, and they just to study the courses on their own at home, and after that they got to pass tests. That's why one of the program. After that, we have a lot of different Zooms, like we said, webinar. The webinar. Yeah, with some items, different items, like every week that a technical director like Stefan Lessard organized every Thursday, for maybe a couple months. I mean, from March to October or November, we organize every week like a webinar different in different items. It could be like mental coaching, pitching program for baseball and softball, hitting, whatever. So we have a lot of people walk around and listening. So what was a good, yeah.
Yeah, and you notice how much I'm staying on the coach's education, because I just believe in it so much. I don't think you can develop a sport without having great coaches at the young levels, especially. I think that's the most important level. I'll keep saying it, folks. Right. The other thing, you may not have this issue, but how about a course on how to deal with parents? Especially like at games, and again, maybe French parents, if they don't know the game as well, maybe they don't say as much. But now that you've had the game since 1914, I think you got more American parents more than you have French parents now.
Yeah, we have less problems than maybe in the States, where we have fans in the stands and shouting and crying for their baby. We don't have that. We don't have father coming over and say, hey, why is he not hitting nine, or why he's not hitting four and he should be hitting four, or why is he not shortstop? No, we don't have that kind of parents. Not because we're doing it right, just because the culture, like we said in the beginning, the culture of the parents is is not yet developed as much as in the States.
Yeah, I'm sure you have them in soccer. I'm sure you have plenty of them in soccer. Know the game. You know, they think they know. And folks, we've said on the show many times, playing and coaching are way two different things. Now, does it help that you played? Yes, of course. It never hurts to understand how you play the game better, but it doesn't make you a coach. You still have to understand how, especially with young kids. Boris, when you come to player development, you know, again, what are the critical areas? There's so many. Our goal is to make sure kids play as long as possible. Because I don't believe what people say. People say, you know, well, they're 14, 15, they want to do different things. Okay, I understand. There's video games, there's girlfriends or boyfriends, there's other activities. But if you love baseball, you'll keep going. And what are some of the reasons you think kids stop playing baseball? Because that's a problem here in the U.S. At a certain age, they start dropping out. What do you think some of the reasons maybe in France are that you have kids dropping out?
Well, it's true what you said. It's difficult sometimes from 15 to 18. Mostly before that, the parents follow through and try to push the kid, especially when he has opportunities for national team, when he has opportunities to go to regional academies, when his club teams fight for a French championship or things like this. So I think the parents are behind. At 15, 16 years old, the parents are not as much behind because they're sort of trying to be adults. And then they want to say, hey, it's on me. It's my choice. And what is important for me at that age group is that they have goals, they fix their goals, and that they stick in it. And they stick in the sports and they have fun. If they don't have fun, they quit. And that's very important even in practice, even in game situations. Okay, you lose, but you had fun. Okay, you lose, but you have a game spirit. You had an attitude. You had a respect for the other team. And this is an education process as well. It's not only win and lose. And I think the kid, even though his parents are not as much behind, the kid understands it's an education system. And that it's not only for baseball, but for him in his lifetime. So as a coach, as a teacher, that's what I always say, is that what you learn today in baseball, you can learn it for life. Like today, baseball for me is a sport where you have to be resilient. And what we live today with the COVID and all this stuff, it's resilience that we have. And it's exactly what baseball is. It's like you fight until the last at bat. And when you get that last at bat, you still got to be focused and positive, and you still have to be able to have success with it. And that's important because this is why life is built the same way as baseball. Baseball is life. You know that.
Well said. And, you know, the other part of this, Boris, I want to mention this part because, you know, everybody's different all over the world. And we can look at different countries, cultures, and how kids are growing up. What makes French players, when it comes to development, what makes it easier for them? And also what could make it harder? But what I mean by that is, and I'll give you an example. I was in Bulgaria, okay? And I just happened to be with the Bulgarian team for a week, and I watched them play in the B pool, and unbelievable. And it only had 14 players, right? And I was part of their coaching staff at the time. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, with these guys, I'd go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Why? Mentally tough, mm-hmm. No excuses. They just fought. You know, and it's very difficult to teach. So it might be a culture growing up.
Yeah.
What French player is pretty good, and maybe what's their detriment a little bit? We all have that detriment.
Well, I think they have good fundamentals. I think they practice a lot because we have very few games, so we work a lot on fundamentals. And I think that's very important in their career. If they want to go in the States, when they arrive in the States, they say, hey, they got good fundamentals. I say, yeah, because they practice hard with it. The only problem we have is the game experience. And that's a major problem for us, because when they go at 18 or 19 in a professional system or in college, this is the lack that they have, lack of experience, lack of holding until the ninth inning is difficult, or make the right choice at the right time. This is very difficult. But We're getting better at it. We're trying to get them more game experience, but it's difficult. The help of MLB Europe and the different clinics we do, the different conventions we do with the EBCA or the ABCA, and you guys coming with the ISG, all the mentors we have, we have a lot of mentors behind us from all around the world, from US, from Japan. And this culture of baseball is I think in France is a combination of different actors and people interactive in it. And then we understand the way we should play. I don't think we have the French way. I think we have an international way. We have athletes that are not like in Cuba, strong, natural. We don't have that. We don't have the Czech Republic mindset where they're very strong. Like you said, they're fighting spirit, and we don't have, we're middle of all this. So we're not the Latinos or the Spanish that are very natural, that they don't stress a lot. And they play hard, they're having fun.
You got a lot of left-handed hitters? No?
We've got a little bit. We combine with the...
Not like
Swedish, not like Tony.
Not like the Swedish. What about multi-sport athletes? A lot of your kids early on, under 12, they play different sports.
That's what we look at, especially that they play different sports and they continue. Usually you can play two sports at the same time. Until 13 or 14 years old. And I think that's a good thing for baseball, especially because if they play well at soccer and then they play baseball, they're good athletes. They run hard. they're good runners on base. And if they play tennis, they know how to hit it too as well. They can take a bat and hit it. We just have to correct a little bat path a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot of skills that we can find early on other sports than baseball. So that's a good combination.
Yeah, I love the cross training a lot of times, developing the athlete. I think you guys are amazing. You have so many good programs for kids that are playing baseball. And we're going to talk about the women's now, but in a minute. I love the academy part because you guys, are developing young kids in the academy at a more competitive level. So there's just so much you offer them. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Now, my very first time experiencing the women's baseball was the World Championships, I believe, in Japan. That was my very first time actually seeing it. And I was very impressed with all the teams. Now, I realized, just like baseball, you're going to have some real strong teams and some are not as strong and they're trying to get better. LaShen, talk about the women's, because the women's program is really women's baseball. Every time people always think women, it's softball. No. There's women's baseball and they're very good at it. Talk about how the program started and where it's at now.
Oh, the program in France started in 2019. We put a team for the European Championship. We organized in Rouen in France, and it was really the first time we set up a team for this kind of tournament, because there is a lot of girls play in France in different clubs, different teams, mixed teams, not only women baseball in France, so it was interesting that we saw that some teams in Europe started to grow up, like Netherlands put the team in the World Cup like every 2 years. So we said, okay, why not we try the experience. We got a couple of girls who were interested, so we put a team on. And we organize a tryout in Paris, a couple of weeks, a couple of months before the tournament. And we had the surprise to have like 50 girls, 50 players came to Paris to the camp. And so it was interesting. And we need some help at this moment. So that's why we contact Baseball Canada and André Lachance.
Yes,
very good friend.
I can pronounce that one.
André Lachance. André de Luc.
Yeah.
He was the best guy for us. He speaks French. He's got good experience in women baseball in Baseball Canada. So was the best guy for us. So I was on the staff, and we organized like the training camp. The competition was a good level. I mean, you know, only three teams, but you know, played some pretty good games, tough games, like for one or two runs. You know, like even the final championship game was tough against the Netherlands. So after that, we said, oh, maybe we can, you know, continue to develop this program. And the women, the girls were very interested. And so we keep going. So and we were supposed to qualify for the World Cup the next year. So last year, it was a cancel, and it was tough even for us. I mean, in terms of motivation for girls to keep working hard, you know, during pandemic. And we so last year was named manager for this team in France. So changed a little bit the staff, and we fixed like practices in north of France, in Rouen, and south of France for 30 girls, 30 women. And we practice like every 2 weeks, you know, for couple hours. And yeah, we saw some motivation on these girls to keep going in this program. They were interested to play for the national team and the World Cup. So was the goal, you know, last year. Unfortunately, the competition was canceled. So even for this year, you know, we were supposed to organize a European Championship even in France, in Montpellier, in south of France. It was decided to move it to next year, so in 2022. So we hope we have a good team next year to compete again and be qualified for the next World Cup. So that's the goal. And you know, it's I mean, very interesting, because even the staff, the coaches I get right now, we have like hitting coach, pitching coach, a guy who is in charge of the physical preparation. And we got a woman in the staff for the medical staff and mental preparation too. So we are, preparation is, I mean, very serious in this program. It is not just, okay, we got some girls play softball, play baseball, we put a team and put it in a tournament. No. We think about the future, the next level, to be the best we can and compete against the best teams in the world. So why not?
Yeah, and guys, don't get mad at me all over the world, because my limited experience with women's baseball, but also some lessons and national team tryouts here in the U.S., my experience has been that, you know, they really listen. I mean, and they really love playing it. And that's what I loved about them, is when you told them something, they did it. You know, I think teaching them might be a little easier than some of the guys.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. That's the big difference with boys. You know, boys, it's tough sometimes. Boys know that every day.
And I agree with you.
With the girls, it's very easy. It's easy.
Yeah, it is a lot easier. I agree. All right, guys, let's close it off with this. Just two questions in general. This is just about the game in general. One, you know, it's the difficult, and I stay with the young kids a little bit. One of the difficult things, Boris, is, and both you guys can answer it if you want, but I'll start with Boris. It's just common sense. You know, we're playing with a hard ball a lot of times, and kids are afraid to get hit by a hard ball. I don't blame them, right? If the coach got hit in the face by the hard ball, he wouldn't like it either. So what do you guys encourage your coaches? How do you encourage them to, you know, work with your young kids so that way, you know, they're going to get hit eventually, but how do you develop them into helping them out a little bit mentally?
Well, first of all, we have specific balls in terms of age group. That's the first thing. We have the Kenko balls just to protect the players. It's very important for us in terms of security. And the other, yeah, you have them. Yeah, right behind you.
Love them. Yes.
Yeah, this is great for kids. It's even great for practice for older guys, because it doesn't. It's not leather, so you can use it by rain. It's no problem. The Kenko ball. It's pretty good. The other thing is the approach and the way to train the players to have confidence in themselves. and not to be scared of, and to have a good approach in hitting. It's the yes, 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 no. Instead of no, I'm scared. It's the yes, I'm going to hit that ball. I'm going to crush it. And that's the mental approach that even young, you got to start with that. And the confidence is important. Is the most important is the confidence of doing it. And if you fail, no problem, flush it and go back to the next pitch or the next inning. And that's very, very important for us.
You know, that reminds me, flush it. Ken Revisa, God bless him.
Rest in peace.
You asked me what last time I was off the air, last time I was in France, it was in Melousse with Bertrand. But prior to that, Ken Revisa at the coaches convention, in Paris.
Yes, you helped us
a long time ago. Listen, we'll close it off with this one. Everybody, I think, in Europe and other countries may have this issue. And sometimes in the U.S., because you lack so many players, you don't have a lot, let's say, you're going to have an age group that's going to be 15 to 13, let's say, right? Because you got to have 13-year-olds, 14s, and 15s. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge for coaches at times because of the different age and the level of ability. What do you tell your coaches how to work with that? Because that's the most difficult one, I think, one of the most difficult ones.
For coaches, it's tough because you can not only different abilities, but physically they can be very different, you know. So you have to make some adjustments in the practices, you know. It's the age you have to make adjustments every practices. I mean, in like physical intensity, you know, you have, it's tough, but to have some different groups instead, you know, doing the same thing for the whole group. So now they try to understand it, you know, not individual, it's tough in clubs to do individual practices, but understand how this age, 13 years old and 15 years old, are very different guys. I mean, it could be a man, you know, and a little kid of 13 years. So you have to talk differently with each of them, you know, different words probably, you know, and they have emotional, different emotion feedback. So you have to be careful with them. It's the age is very tough, you know, you'll be slowly, you know, Don't cry to the kids, you know, because the kids of 7 years will probably cry, you know, yeah. And the other will be, I'm a man, come on. So, you know, you have to manage differently those kids. And we teach them during our courses how to handle it, different age to 6 to 9, to 10 to 12, and 13 to 15. It's very different. You know, you have to know the how kids is built. I mean, you know, is like physically and mentally. After that, when you know the kids, you can know how to practice with them.
Absolutely. And I love the part again you threw in about the coaches programs, because again, you're educating them in real life situations how to deal with them. Boris, here's where we're going to close it off, each one of you. Boris, start with you. Basically, you know, anything you want to say about French baseball to the people in the U.S. and around the world that listen to the show? Anything new, anything we didn't talk about French baseball that, you know, maybe somebody can learn from, or it's important to understand it?
No, I just want to thank you and thank people receptive on French baseball, because players that comes from Europe and France go to college in U.S. or go to professional system, and they're worth it. I mean, they're dedicated. They leave their country to another country. It's not easy, and they try to get education through university and play their sport they love. And there's about 20, 25 kids. So I say hello to them. And I'm really proud of them. We're really proud of what they're doing, because they get more mature. They get a lot of experience. And when they come back on a national team, they have very good level. So thanks for hosting them. Thanks for considering them. And that's very important. And I would like also to thank you and thanks. A special thanks to some mentors that I have and that we shared a lot in France. I know ISG helped us a lot. I know Jim Jones helped me a lot personally, Pat Doyle, Jeff Crucial, he helped me a lot. There's a lot of coaches, Ken Revisa, he told us, around the world. And the last one that passed away recently is Bill Holmberg, that I had in August with us in the academy. And Bill was my father. So it's still hard for me.
Absolutely. Tough for everybody. I agree with you, man. Known Bill 30 plus years. Again, good people. Rest in peace, Bill Holmberg and Ken Revizza. You've done so much for the game, not only in the U.S., but around the world. Bill, being an American, went to Italy, met a great young lady there, married, and stayed there for his whole life, man. He was fantastic. Lassen, tell me anything else about French baseball? I love the logos behind you. Great logo.
Yeah. French Federation is very dynamic. I mean, for the last 10 years, we do a lot of programs working. And Baseball 5, for example, or women baseball. I would love to thank also good people who help a lot, like André Lachance, for sure, Baseball Canada, and Hiroko Yamada from Baseball Japan. She helped a lot all years, and she's coming in France to help baseball, women baseball. So good thanks to Hiroko. And Baseball 5, yeah, I think we have on good move. I mean, because we won last European Championship last year, so also we'll qualify for the World Cup next year, I hope, in Mexico, and we're in good shape, I think, for baseball fight. So good challengers for other countries like Cuba. I mean,
amazing. Started women's baseball.
Very exciting programs. Yeah.
Women's baseball started 2019. You said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks, think about that. Women's baseball, 2019, already European champion. That's incredible. Congratulations, man. That's awesome. Boris, can't thank you enough. I know it's your bedtime coming up here soon in France. So I know
dinner time.
Dinner time. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it, Boris.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was great sharing with you.
The same thing with San. Thank you so much. Thank you to the French baseball.
Great pleasure. I hope to see you in France soon.
I hope so too. All right, folks. French Baseball Federation, Boris and Lassen, fantastic show. Thank you very much, guys. Thanks to Brian Crock, our producer with the Lineup Media Group. Special thank you to everybody in the U.S. and around the world. Go to baseballoutsidethebox.com for the audio. Check it out on YouTube, Peter Caliendo. Thank you, everybody on Facebook, for joining us. And remember, thanks to ESPN Honolulu for hosting us on their site. And finally, stay healthy, be safe. We'll see you on the baseball soon, on the baseball field, and God bless y'all. We'll see you on the next show. Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.